Bibles and open them to the 10th chapter of the book of Daniel. 10th chapter of the book of Daniel. Remember, if you will, when we worshiped together on Sunday morning, we looked at the 9th chapter of the book of Daniel, and we talked about Daniel's prayer. And the reason that we examined Daniel's prayer was to set the stage for the remaining part of the book of Daniel. Remember, if you will, how this study started. Daniel interpreted a dream by Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar was king of Babylon. Babylon had overthrown Jerusalem. Assyria, which included the 10 tribes of Israel. And now God's chosen people were in captivity for the second time. Among that group that was taken into Babylonian captivity was Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And remember, if you will, the king had a dream of an image that really started. It was Daniel that ultimately interpreted that dream. He told him what the dream was, and then he interpreted the dream. Remember, if you will, there was an image, a tall image. And the different parts of this image represented different countries. For example, the head of that image represented the Babylonian Empire. And the four empires that were mentioned by Daniel in this dream, or the interpretation of this dream, was the Babylonian Empire, the Medo-Persian Empire, the Grecian Empire under Alexander the Great, and the Roman Empire. Then remember, if you will, as we progress through our study of the book of Daniel, we get to the 7th chapter. And in the 7th chapter of the book of Daniel is where Daniel sees a vision, and he sees the sea open up and four beasts come out of the sea. Again, we learn from looking at this particular vision that these four beasts kind of reinforce what Daniel had seen when he interpreted this image. Once again, these four beasts represented the Babylonian Empire, the Medo-Persian Empire, Grecian Empire, the Roman Empire. Then remember, if you will, in the 8th chapter of the book of Daniel, you see a big he-goat come out of the wilderness. And the he-goat with the one horn beat down and knocked the horns off of the two-horned goat and stomped it in the ground, which was representative of the fact that the Medo-Persian Empire was going to be overtaken by the Grecian Empire, or Alexander the Great. Now, by this time, we get to the 9th chapter of the book of Daniel. Daniel trying to really grasp the meaning of all of these visions that he had seen. And he enters into a deep prayer to Jehovah God to help him understand the meaning of these visions that he was seeing. Now notice, if you will, in the latter part of chapter 9, before we get to the 10th chapter, we're going to see in the latter part of chapter 9, where in verse 24, at the end of this prayer, it says, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city, to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and the prophecy and to anoint the Most Holy. Know therefore and understand that going from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the prince shall be 7 weeks, and 62 weeks the street shall be built again, the wall, even in troublesome times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself, and the people of the prince that shall come there, that shall come, shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war of desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice, the obligation to cease. For the overspreading of the abominations, he shall make it desolate, even unto the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Do you see why Daniel said, "My heart, my head aches"? When he's trying to understand these visions and what they are meaning, or what they mean. Now, if we could, let's try to think about this man Daniel. He came into Babylon as a teenager, 17, 18, 19, say 20 years old at the most. He had to interpret this dream by Nebuchadnezzar. Now he's an older man, and we don't really know whether he ever gets the opportunity to go back to Jerusalem. But he's probably now 85 or 90 years old. And he, as we said on Sunday morning, was a very good student of the Bible, had read what Isaiah had to say, had read what Jeremiah had to say, and he knew from the writings of prophecy that God's people were going to spend 70 years in bondage. And after the end of the 70 years, they were going to be released by a king by the name of Cyrus from the Medes and the Persians. Now remember, if you will, Isaiah made a prophecy back in Isaiah chapters 44 and 45 long before Cyrus was even born, that his people would go into captivity and that he would raise up Cyrus the Mede to allow those people to go back to their homeland. Now imagine, if you will, Daniel, a prophet of God, a very faithful person that had seen his people turn their backs on God, walk out on God, turn away from God, and because of that, as we said Sunday morning, Daniel was praying to God and basically saying, "I know my people sinned, I know we've sinned, but could we see some mercy, some love from you, understanding that it was about time for the people to go back home?" Now notice, if you will, when we start the 10th chapter, look at verse 1. In the 3rd year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar, and the thing was true, but the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing and had understanding of the visions. And in those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. Now, have you noticed anything changing from the 9th chapter to the 10th chapter? Or from the 8th chapter, 9th chapter to the 10th chapter? If you'll notice in reading those chapters, the Babylonian Empire was still in existence. Nebuchadnezzar was not in reign, but Babylon was still in power. And his grandson was ruling over Babylon. If you remember, we read about the fingers that came on the wall, and Daniel interpreted that dream and told Nebuchadnezzar's grandson that his days were numbered. His kingdom was about to come to an end. Well, by the time we leave the ninth chapter, we find Daniel praying. We look in chapter 1, and it's the, second, third year. And now we've got a brand new king. But it's not a Babylonian king. It's a Persian king. You see, the Medes and the Persians slipped in, dug under the water gate of Babylon, and overthrew the Babylonian Empire. Now the Medes and the Persians are in control. And here's Daniel thinking, now I remember what Isaiah the prophet said, that he was going to raise up Cyrus the Mede. Well, who's in charge? Cyrus. So Daniel is thinking in his mind, the time must be here. Why are my people not going home? Now, as we kind of finish the book of Daniel, and especially if you take it from the prayer that Daniel prayed in chapter 9, and you talk about the 70 weeks that he mentioned. Remember, we said when we started this study, laying the groundwork to enter into a study of the book of Revelation, which we have been doing on Sunday morning in our Bible class. In reality, what you have in the book of Daniel is the same type of language, a language of symbols. A language that is very difficult to make it literal. The language is figurative and symbolic. And what you'll notice as we leave the book of Daniel and you start into a study of the book of Revelation, all of the visions that Daniel had, and all the visions that Daniel sees, and the visions that we're talking about that include the 70 weeks in chapter 10, will take you from the time of Daniel making this prayer, and 2-3 years later, the decree is made by Cyrus, and the first group of people go back to Jerusalem. And they start to rebuild the city, and the foundation is laid for the temple the first year. The walls are being constructed. And then we're going to notice as we go through this vision that Daniel sees, it's going to take us from that time all the way down to the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70. So you see the length of time you're talking about in these visions? And what you're going to notice is when Daniel's visions stop and you've gone all the way down to AD 70, Revelation is going to pick up where Daniel stopped. And John is going to be seeing visions in the book of Revelation, just like Daniel saw back here in the book of Daniel. And what John is going to see is visions about what's going to happen from AD 70 on until this fourth kingdom. Remember, that fourth kingdom is an important part. Remember in Daniel 2 and verse 44, when Daniel interpreted that first dream, he said that during the days of the Roman kings, the God of heaven would set up a kingdom that would never be destroyed. Remember, we're drawing a distinction now between four kingdoms. Babylonian kingdom is going to fall. The Medo-Persian empire is going to fall. The Grecian empire under Alexander the Great is going to fall. Now, after the end of the Grecian Empire, we're going to see this in a vision as we go through. And as we look at Daniel's visions, that kingdom, the Grecian kingdom, is going to split into four parts. And by the time we finish those four kingdoms, as they fight it out together, each one of Alexander the Great's generals took a piece of the kingdom that Alexander the Great conquered, which included the Medo-Persian Empire. When it all dust all settles, and the four generals fight it out, you'll have Egypt fighting against Syria. But when it all washes down and we all get through with these fights, the Roman Empire is going to rise. And it's going to take over. And it's going to be the worst of all these kingdoms that we've talked about. Remember, these earthly kingdoms are going to rise and fall. By the time we finish the book of Daniel, Daniel is going to see this vision of the Roman Empire in its heyday, in its power, in its arrogance, in its persecution of the church. This kingdom that was going to be established during that period of time that Daniel talked about in Daniel 2 and verse 44. But you remember the difference between this kingdom that was going to be established was going to be an eternal kingdom. It was not going to be an earthly kingdom. It was going to be a spiritual kingdom. And it was going to be an eternal kingdom. The Babylonian Empire, it fell to the Medes and the Persians. The Medes and the Persians fell to the Grecians. The Grecians fell, divided into four parts, and then the Roman Empire took over it. That was the fourth kingdom. And what Daniel sees is, in the end, the Roman kingdom's going to fall, and that's what John's going to see in the Revelation. He's going to see that kingdom crumble in the dust. So if you can envision in your mind, as we finish the book of Daniel and we look at chapters 10, 11, and 12, what you're going to see is visions that Daniel has that will take us from the time of the first group that goes back home until the end of the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70. Any questions or comments before we go any further?
The group that went back was more or less just a remnant of Israel, wasn't it?
It was a remnant. Yes, it was. Now remember, if you will, what you're going to see as they go back from captivity, it's going to happen in two groups. The first group is going to leave about 2 years after Cyrus makes the decree. And they're going to start the rebuilding of the temple and the city and the walls. And as it says right here in verse 25 of chapter 9, let's read this again. Know therefore and understand, Daniel, that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the prince shall be 7 weeks, and 80 days. The street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous times. Now notice, if you will, what you're going to notice in this vision of the 70 weeks. It's going to be divided out into two sections. And we're going to be looking at the first 7 weeks. And then you're going to hit the last section of that 70 weeks, the 62 weeks, and then the 1 week. So it's kind of going to be divided into two sections. What you're going to see first is that first group goes back. What are they supposed to do? Rebuild the city. Rebuild the temple. Remember what Daniel said? What they told Daniel is going to be kind of troublesome times. Well, you can see, here's Daniel thinking in his mind, they're supposed to go home. But here's these visions I'm seeing that's going all the way forward. He doesn't know exactly that it's going to wind up being AD 70. He doesn't really understand completely the spiritual kingdom that's going to take place in during the times of the Roman Empire. But yet he's trying to sort all of these visions out in his head and understand, and he's praying to God to send him some help, and he sends him the angels to kind of tell him and interpret to him and tell him what is really going to happen. So the first group goes back, and they do pretty well. But remember, if you will, now, there's three people that's instrumental in taking this group back. It's going to be Ezra. It's going to be Nehemiah. And it's going to be Zerubbabel. They're going to work for about 2 years and do fairly well. But the countries round about them are going to be interfering with it. There's going to be all types of things going on. And they're going to fool around here about 16 years. And they're just going to sit there and do nothing. That's when Nehemiah comes in that second time. And remember, if you will, when we were studying the book of Nehemiah, you're going to read about Nehemiah making that midnight ride around the city and seeing what's being done. And he goes back and he gets some people together. He said, you know, you got your houses fixed up pretty good, but 16 years have gone by. There's still holes in the walls and the temple's not finished. What are you waiting on? So he kind of rallies the second group and kind of gets to going there. And then they get that done. And then Ezra comes in, and he's a scribe. And he goes back, and his job is to reteach the Word of God. And remember, he builds, as we would say, the first wood pulpit. And they stand from day to night, and they read the Bible. And they'll just open up and read chapter after chapter after chapter of the Bible and what it says. Because you see, up until this point, they've got a lot of the Old Testament already written down that they can read it in scrolls. So that's how these 7 weeks play out in this particular vision. And then, after that, you're going to play out the rest of the Old Testament through the end of Malachi. Then you're going to go through the dark span of time when there's no revelation at all being made in between the Old Testament and the New. All of this is pictured now in this visions, or these visions that Daniel is seeing that's taking place in what's referred to as the 70 weeks. So you can see why Daniel would have so many questions as to what's going to happen. This is his people. And he's concerned about his people. What's going to happen to his people? How is his kingdom, the city of Jerusalem, and all of it, how is it going to shift out? Now notice, if you will, you see why this prayer is such a vital part of the rest of the entire vision that he has. Now we learn in verse 1 that it's the third year of Cyrus the king that was revealed unto Daniel. Then notice, if you will, in verse 3 he talks about, I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh or wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all, till 3 weeks were fulfilled. Then it says, and in the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the Greek river, which is Hedekiah, then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Euphaz. His body was like beryl. His face as the appearance of lightning. His eyes as lamps of fire, his arms, his feet like in color to polished brass, and the voice of his words were like the voice of a multitude. Now you see why Daniel was asking for help, and you see why that he was so upset in what he was seeing. Now, who this person was, we don't know. Some people think that it was an angel, definitely that. Some even think it could possibly be the Son of God in the form of an angel. But in any way, it was someone very special. And notice how it affected Daniel in verse 7. And Daniel alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Remember what was going on with Moses when we studied about them being around Mount Sinai for a year, and how Moses would go up in the mountain. What would happen to the mountain? It would tremble and quake and shake, and the people would back away. They didn't want any part of it. Let Moses tell us what God wants us to know. And that's kind of the position you see Daniel in, because he, like Moses, is receiving revelation from God. And the people, they're just going back out of the way. They don't really know what is exactly going on. And notice what it says in verse 8. I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Yet I heard the voice of his words. When I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. And behold, a hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said, Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thy heart to understand, to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, but Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remembered there with the kings of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days. For yet the vision is for many days. Now notice what's going on. What does Daniel want to know? What's going to happen to my people? When are they going home? What's going to happen after they get home? And now Daniel realizes, I'm about to hear. I'm about to be able to see. But it's going to include much more time than Daniel ever anticipated. You see, Daniel was a lot like you and I. We think short term. We want to know what time supper is going to be tonight. What we want to know when things are going to take place. Well, that Daniel's going to know, well, when they're going back home. But what God was interested in letting Daniel know, he says, let me tell you, Daniel, the history of your people. I want you to know about your people. I want you to fully understand the power of this spiritual kingdom that's coming into existence. You see why Jesus would ask the question many years later, after he left heaven, came to this earth, and turned to his disciples and said, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And it was Simon Peter that says, "You're the Christ, you're the Son of God." He said, "Based on that confession of faith, I'm going to give you guys the keys to the kingdom of heaven." Then Peter stood up in Acts chapter 2 and used those keys to open the door to the kingdom, and some 3,000 souls were buried with their Lord in baptism. They were added to the kingdom. It was in existence. Well, Daniel was about to learn some of that in this vision. But not only that, he was going to see how or what was going to happen to his people. Remember when Jesus sat up on that mountain looking over down to the city of Jerusalem in Matthew chapter 24? He said, "There's not going to be one stone left unturned." You see, Daniel was seeing some of that vision in the remaining couple of chapters of the book of Daniel. And what Jesus meant was, in AD 68, Vespasian, Emperor of Rome, future Emperor of Rome, was going to lead an army around Jerusalem and starve them to death for 2 years. And in AD 70, they would destroy the city, destroy the Jewish government, and the Jewish people and the Jewish nation, as they knew it, would never be the same again. Not to this day can a Jew anywhere chase his lineage back to the tribe that he come from. So you see, Daniel is about to see all of this in vision. And just remember, here's the short-term vision, the 7 weeks. Here's the 62-week vision. And what we're thinking about here is not necessarily literal weeks. It's time periods. Oh, there's a time period the people are going to go back home. There's going to be a time period when you're going to see what's going to happen to your people. He's about to see this, and he's about to hear it. It's time to stop. Any questions or comments before we stop? We'll pick up and close out the book of Daniel next Wednesday night.